Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to go through a time machine of sorts on Chris and Evan's excellent adventures across the network. This week, you're going to see some time machine style things. So we're going to go back through different years, kind of give you an idea of what was going on at that time with the team. So for this week in this episode, it's 1990, 2000, and 2010. And we'll be doing this next week in different increments. I believe the 95, 2005, and 2015, which 2015 is a fun year, which we're talking about in the book club, which again is back tomorrow, which is going to be very, very fun. If you are listening to this, we are recording this a little before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday evening. We don't exactly know some of the exact protocols that are coming yet. There could be some changes in what the NBA is going to do. Right now, from everything we're hearing, everything we're reading from Woj and others, it does not seem like the Cavs are going to be among the teams playing in the bubble. That means you can look forward to a lot of draft content on the Locked On Cavs podcast, but we'll have more on that in the coming days. We'll have some more on that tomorrow, probably. We will see exactly sort of how this is going to look, how this will impact the Cavs or not impact the Cavs as we go forward. But again, right now, we don't know a ton about what this is going to look like, and aside from the fact that it seems less and less likely that the Cavs are going to be involved in some way. That's coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, your daily-ish part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as always, we are brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox Adam today at the cue.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. I was blocked by Adrian Wojnarowski today on Twitter for no reason, so I'm still kind of reeling from that. You mentioned I was listening in while you were talking about the ongoing situation at the NBA, and you said Woj was our update for news. I'm like, well, not for me anymore. I'm Shams Charania only, so I'm Team Shams going forward. But other than that, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. So this is a new block?
So here's the thing. I was kind of scrolling through my timeline today, just like going through, and somebody was like pointing out that Woj just works for ESPN, which is a subsidiary of Disney, and Disney has Bob Iger, and Bob Iger's on the NBA board, and then like it's just like implying that like Woj has like a vested interest in propping up this whole Disney or NBA returning to Disney World thing. And it said, like, the tweet was unavailable. I'm like, huh, that's weird. So I, like, tapped on it because I thought, like, did he delete it? Or, like, maybe Twitter's glitching out or something, because I was trying to see the context of the tweet. And it said, like, the tweet was unavailable. So I said, I don't know, maybe it's glitching. So I, like, looked up his account, and I typed in Woj ESPN, and, like, his account wasn't, like, popping up when I was searching it. So I'm like, okay. So then I'm just, like, scrolling through, and somebody mentions him. So I tap on his username, and it says he blocked me. And I don't know what I did. Hey, Adrian, if you're listening right now. I know I dumped out your buddy John Boeheim a lot, but come on the show. We can talk it out like adults and just kind of figure things out.
Yeah, that's fair. That didn't drink any block track. I couldn't exactly say why. But we're now going to go on the Chris and Evan's excellent adventure. Evan, let's start with 1990. So let's go back. If we were not born yet.
We were negative 3 years old.
Yes. Ghost was the top movie of the year. I have not seen Ghost. Have you? Have you seen Ghost?
Neither have I. I've seen, like, pop culture references. Is it the movie where she's making, like, the clay pot or whatever on the wheel and the ghost is, like, behind her helping her make it or something like that? I don't know. I've never seen it, so I'm just grasping at straws here.
Okay, so the cast includes Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg, who plays a character named Oda Mae Brown, and then Tony Goldwyn, who is the president from Scandal. That's the four lead people on this movie. It's a romantic fantasy slash crime thriller film.
Wow, it covers... It would do really well, actually, today, if those were the genres it was covering, because, like, that's a very specific market for our age bracket. Not naming names, but, like, crime, thriller, murder, mystery stuff, like, that's definitely a market, and that movie would be there. And the crazy thing is, that movie made $217.6 million in 1990, and today's money, that's $426.9 million. That's absolutely absurd to think, like... A movie I've never seen and probably won't ever bother to see did make Avengers money. I don't think anything will ever make Avengers money, but it made a pretty penny.
Yeah, this I'm reading the wiki of this movie and my brain hurts. But there's other notable things this year. NBA and NBC makes its return this year. Round Ball Rock makes its debut in 91, to a year later. But for the Cavs finished this season, the 90-91 season, 33-49. This is Brad Daugherty leading the team with 21-6 a game. Larinen Senior at 19.6 a game. Here's the big bummer of the season. Mark Price tears his ACL, and you also have Hot Rod Williams only appearing in 43 games due to sore foot. This team ends up being again well under 500. When I think about this, if I just was thinking about like this team, put him in now, and how I would dissect this. If you just lose Mark Price, I just don't – like, he is the engine of these teams in so many ways as we look back on them. This is very early in his career. This is, like, 5 years into his career, and I'm going to pull up his basketball reference page. But when I think about this, Evan, it's just, like, when you think about gutting a team, it's, like, pretty tough. It's also noting, you know, he'd been an All-Star in his third season, so two seasons before. Yeah. But I think probably one of the coolest parts about this is that he follows this up with his three straight All-Star seasons. So this didn't really prevent him from hitting the Mark Price apex.
Yeah, so it's just the weird thing with Mark Price is, yeah, he only appeared in 16 games. And the Cavs did start the season 10-8 at this point. But then they proceeded to lose 16 in the next 17. And the silver lining of this is they're able to get Terrell Brandon in the draft the following year in 1991. But... this year was also the first year of the first Bulls three-peat, and it makes me wonder if this Cavs squad was fully healthy, because this Cavs squad went toe-to-toe with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and they could never get past them. I wonder if they were able to hang with the Chicago squad that doesn't have championship swagger on their side if this team is fully healthy.
So it's interesting to think about that, because I'm looking at Brad Daugherty's page now. This is his age 25 season. I think there's a very clear argument. This is at the beginning of the three-year Brad Daugherty apex. He's 76 games this year, 73 the next, 71 and 93. He's out of the league after 94, before he's 30 years old. If you look at his rebounding numbers, the best he ever had was this season. You look at his scoring, it's very slightly the best he ever had. His best free-throw shooting percentage, his tied for his best field goal percentage, his second highest field goal percentage, or third highest field goal percentage. I was looking at the wrong thing. This is the beginning of the Brad Daugherty apex. This is very good Larry Nance. Yeah, I think that is interesting. It's a Bulls team that obviously has not figured out how to win yet. It's not kind of the best evolved version of MJ and Scottie and all those guys yet. You know, still some toughness there. I mean, you have... the Pistons are still kind of hanging around. You know, the Cavs' big kind of playoff series win will be, I think, a year or two later against the Boston Celtics, as they're kind of on their way out, and that's kind of probably their most defining playoff win of this era. But yeah, I think that's a really, really good what if. Getting to where Brandon obviously is one of those things where you lose some games, unfortunately, and it leads that way. But yeah, I mean, Mark Price, like, again, I can't imagine, like, even though, like, this team will – he's not maybe the guy that was the best guy in these teams. I feel like when we've gone back and watched them play and talked about them, he feels like the engine of those teams, like, without question.
Yeah, no, he really does. And I'll firmly stand by my stance that Mark Price is a criminally underrated player, because going back and Andre Miller too, right? We should talk about Andre Miller in Cleveland sometime and just how weird his career kind of was, where he was always a part of a rebuilding situation, and right when the team was about to turn the corner, he left. That's something interesting as well with Andre Miller. But no, Mark Price was criminally underrated in his career, and if he played in today's NBA, he would probably be held in the same regard as Steph, because he feels like he's Steph before Steph, and he plays better individual defense too. And No, Mark, it was just definitely a shame. And I think this is a big what if, that maybe this Cavs team could have been a huge championship threat and a bigger threat to the Bulls if they're able to stay healthy. Because, I mean, Mark Price was obviously the engine of the team, but Hot Rod was a glue guy as well, as we've learned after just, you know, doing deep dives in past Cavs teams and focusing on this 90s era squad, that like Hot Rod is a big part of the thing as well. And also would have been a great player in the modern NBA. But losing him and Price for the better part of the season, Price especially because he only appeared in 16 games, is massive. And yeah, I don't know. It's just a big what if. It's something you never really think about. And granted, I wasn't alive at the time, so I don't stew on it as much. But yeah.
If we can ever potentially get Terry Pluto on the show, that would be one of the things I'd love to ask him. Just to put Larry Nance as kind of the third guy in here, this is his age 31 season. This is his third to fourth to last NBA season. It's not his last All-Star season, but you could argue this is like this. He's averaging 19.2 this year. It's arguably his best season in Cleveland, and certainly I think kind of the best. I would love to know what he thinks too, but it's one of those things where this is arguably the best version the Cavs ever had of him. And if you have him, Doherty, Price all kind of cooking, that's a really, really good trio to have.
Especially when you don't have to face a Bulls team that has the confidence that now knows what it takes to win a championship. Like, that's a huge deciding factor as well.
Yeah, I don't think, like, we will obviously go back and say, like, the Cavs got, like, hosed by, like, having to, you know, beat the Bulls, like, not being able to beat the Bulls or whatever, but it's just, like, interesting to think, like, you know, like, if they just get have things break their way, yeah. If, like, they just have a little more support in some capacity, like, that is, like, just a really interesting thing to consider if they're just a little bit luckier in some senses. Like, that is just a way for them to kind of, I think it just, you know, get a little luckier and kind of have things work the right way.
Instead of them being a footnote in The Last Dance, they're actually, like, a major segment, like the Bad Boy Pistons were, if the cat, this, I don't know. Maybe it's just me kind of being a bit of a homer here, too. Who knows? But it just being something interesting to think about as well.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair at all. But, Evan, you know, maybe if they would have had a little more protein, they would have been able to sustain some of this. You know, we know more about protein now. And they did have Built Bars in 1990. Built Bars, obviously, are the best-tasting protein bar ever. These are tasty bars, 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate and nut flavors, 8 chocolate and nut-free flavors. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious guy. It helps you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber protein bars. They have great flavors like peanut butter brownie that has 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs, or mint brownie that has 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 5 net carbs. Right now, you can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. We're going to take a quick break here, come back and talk about the 2000 Cavs era, and that's coming up right after this. All right, we're back here on Locked On Cavs. Evan, 2000, you and I are a little older then. We're 7 years old. The Jim Carrey version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas is the top grossing film that year. I have seen that movie. The Lakers won a title this year. Okay, I want to start with this, though. Not Cavs related, but you were living in Nashville, and you saw that you went to the Super Bowl?
No. I wasn't at the Super Bowl, no. I was living in Nashville. I think they were the Oilers the first year they moved to Nashville, but they were officially the Titans this year, and I witnessed the Titans lose the Super Bowl 1 yard short to the Rams, and just a huge, like, terrible moment, and just, like, I wasn't that, like, torn up on it because I wasn't a huge football fan then, but, like, the pain was definitely palpable for, like, my classmates and people who, like, really jumped on that Titans bandwagon after they kind of established themselves as a legitimate team in Nashville.
That's a cool story. This might be the first Super Bowl I remember watching, actually. Because I can remember the end of that game, like, very vividly in my brain.
No, I remember that one, too. I remember this game vividly from when I was younger. I remember the Janet Jackson incident from when I was younger. And I also remember the Buccaneers beating up on the Raiders because, again, I wasn't a huge football fan, but I just thought it was super cool when I was a kid that there was two pirate-themed teams playing in the Super Bowl. I'm like, that's kind of neat. So,
yeah, that's fun. So, but the Cavs this year. Okay, so here's everything going on. They finished the season 30-52. This is the start of the decline into in leading into getting LeBron James a few years later. So you trade Jamal Crawford for Chris Mim on draft night. Bad trade. Andre Miller is a leading team scorer on the team. Lamon Murray second. Z is third. They started 15-7, and then they traded Brevin Knight for Jim Jackson. Then they lose 23 of their next 28. Finished 6th in the division, 10th in the conference. You know, not a good Cavs team. This is one of those things where it leads into drafting DeShawn Ajop the season later. But I think when you just look at this, it's just like, for me, Evan, it's just really the beginning of the lead into some of the bad stuff that's coming here and getting, and obviously results in LeBron James, and we know that story pretty well. But man, trading Jamal, even though like I'm not like a super Jamal Crawford defender, that guy can at least get you a bucket. And like I would love to I might have to go back and read more of the logic on like why you would do that.
I didn't really look too much into the logic when I was kind of researching the 2000-2001 Cavaliers. And, yeah, with the power of hindsight, trading Jamal Crawford for Chris Mim was not a good call. Obviously not a good call on draft night. But I think more so trading Brevin Knight for Jim Jackson, because Jim Jackson did not work out at all in Cleveland. And, like, I get it. This team's a little bit rebuilding. They're kind of finding their direction. But they had some nice pieces here in Andre Miller, and then you had Brevin Knight, and then you also had Jamal Crawford for a hot second before you traded him. But I feel like this casting could have been a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. A lot of just like, I feel like these are short-sighted moves to try and like, I don't know, maybe they're like a precursor to what the Cavs are now, where they make short-sighted moves where they just feel like they're not really going to amount to anything special. Maybe they get you a brief playoff appearance, which this team doesn't. But it's just kind of frustrating and just kind of a lesson in futility, maybe just like something that's just become a recurring theme with this Cavaliers team ever since, you know, the turn of the millennium, which also is weird to think that 2000 was 20 years ago at this point. Oh my God. We're old and washed. When you said it was 20, I remember that around in the 2000s, I remember like ketchup came in like green and purple as well. Like that was a big thing too. Like there's a lot of weird stuff in the 20s. In the turn of the millennium, and the Cavs were definitely no exception in this.
Yes. So I did a quick Google search, and here's some of the information that I found on this Chris Mim, Jamal Crawford trade. Number one, the draft that year was held in Minneapolis. Didn't know that.
No.
So this is the quote Jamal Crawford. This is the quote Jamal Crawford, the two quotes he has in the story from Bob Finnan of the Morning Journal, then of the Morning Journal, one of the all-time Cavs beat guys. Quote, Andy Katz of ESPN.com told me I had been traded. I thought it was a joke. It tripped me out. I couldn't believe it. I had a Cavaliers hat on. We had changed hats on camera. And then Crawford would later say, I'm happy where I ended up. I wanted to be a part of what's going on here. I had never talked to Cleveland. I never even worked out for them. When they drafted me, it caught me off guard. Mim, who worked out twice for the Bulls, had an inkling they were thinking about drafting him. I'm not looking back, he said. I can't complain. I have too much going on right now to worry about being vengeful. Weird quote. And then neither player is playing much at this time. And then Cavs coach Randy Whitman. Wow, not aged well. He said, we're happy with picking Chris. That was our objective going to the draft, getting bigger up front. I guess I just like, you know, just like player trades like that in the draft just seemed like very weird to me for some reason, but they are what they are. But again, hasn't aged well. And yeah, this is just like kind of one of those weird things. And just reading this like old Morning Journal article and seeing names like, you know, Ellen Brands on the Bulls this time, he's mentioned there. He's out. He'd missed this game due to a knee. And then, you know, the Cavs only had played 9 players the game before. According to Whitman, they just wanted to play these 9 guys, which cut Mim from the rotation to get some stability in the rotation. Just fun times looking back at the 2000 Cavs, who appeared to be not very well run.
No, it really wasn't a shocker. And I think maybe a good view, you point into the fact that, I mean, the Cavs did draft Carlos Boozer as a second-round pick around this time, which was a good, which was a hit as a pick, but LeBron was really their first, like, good pick, if you really want to, obvious pick as well in 2003, but, like, this Cavs team, it seems like, wasn't very stable in terms of, like, front office stability, but two, like, they had no idea what they were doing with drafting, because, like, Deshaun Jopp, I really butchered his name there, sorry if he's listening, he seldom played for the Cavs, and he really wouldn't find his footing in the NBA until he played for the 05-06 Mavs, which was 5-6 years after he was drafted, and also wasn't with Cleveland, so, like, draft utility is definitely a thing that can hold a rebuilding team back, and this Cavs team clearly had no idea what they were doing when it came to the draft.
Yeah, never, ever, at all. Okay, Evan, if we're looking for something that could have made the Cavs smarter, though, they should have tried Blinkist. Blinkist is one of those great, great apps that everyone should have on their phone. This is an app that allows you to basically get through books much, much faster in a shorter amount of time. It's really unique. Works on your phone, tablet, or your web browser. They give you the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive growing library from self-help, business, help, to history. Who doesn't love all those various genres? They have the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles that you always meant to read but never had the time to. People use Blinkist in the car, while traveling, making breakfast, working out. Some of the really good books you can go check out right now include The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein. I've read that. That's great. This Is Your Brain on Sports by L. John Wortham and Sam Somers. How Champions Think in Sports and Life by Dr. Bob Rotella and Bob Cullen, and so much more, including Becoming by Michelle Obama, Sea Stories by William H. McRaven, My Life in Special Operations. There's so much great stuff. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription at Blinkist.com/NBA. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And again, you're going to save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. We're going to be right back talking about 2010 right after this. All right, we're back. 2010, Evan and I are able to drive around this time. Toy Story 3 is the highest grossing film of that year. Absolute banger of a movie, if I remember correctly. That's the one where Andy's, like, grown up, right? And, like, everyone cried?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure I got that right. Andy, Oba.
Yeah. You know, Andy was going off to college in Toy Story 3 and really pulling the old heartstrings there at the end. And do you want to know a fun fact? Help me bring down the mood of 2010 real quick.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So, you know how Bo Peep, did you see Toy Story 4?
I did, because I was about to bring that up, because Keanu Reeves in that movie is my hero.
Well, yes, Keanu Reeves is great in that, but they say Bo was, I think, sold in a garage sale or something. That's what they implied. But the actual reasoning is she's made of porcelain, and you know the incinerator scene in Toy Story 3?
Mm-hmm.
If Bo was subjected to that, according to, I believe, the creators in the movie, I might be misremembering this, but she would have exploded into dust if they wanted to stay authentic. So either people would complain about it being inaccurate, or they would traumatize a bunch of children inside the theater because of the extreme heat of the incinerator. But
wow.
No, that's...
Nihilist Pixar.
Yeah, nihilist Pixar, but solid movie, really put on the old heartstrings, and Toy Story 4 was a good movie. Like, they did a good job condensing everything, and Keanu Reeves was great in that. But really good end to a trilogy. A lot of people, you know, the third act for a trilogy is usually the weakest. Toy Story 3 is a solid overall film. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I'll just say also Obama was president at this time. Shouts to quote Jack Harlow, I miss Obama. This is the last Lakers championship. This is the last Kobe LeBron finals. And it leads into one of the all-time depressing Cavs seasons. You obviously get Kyrie and Tristan in here a year later, sets things in motion for 2016. We've talked about that a lot. They had a then record 26-game losing streak. This is, again, the first year after LeBron. This 2010 into 2011 Cavs team is one of the absolute all-time worst Cavs teams. And I distinctly remember this year, I was still kind of more of a fan. I was, you know, still in high school, whatever. Had a very hard time watching some of these games. Even when I was like, I'm going to watch them because the Cavs are like my favorite team or whatever. Could not stomach some of these games.
No, not at all. It was tough, and it's telling that trading for an overweight, out of shape, and past his prime Baron Davis was the bright spot of the season because he led a win against LeBron in the Heat. For the 2010, it was in 2011 when they did that, and so the 2010-2011 season. But yeah, no, this season was a dumpster fire overall, and I have a lot of memories from it, but I don't think they're fond memories. So, I mean, we can go through them, but a lot of highlights and just plenty of lowlights with this Cavs team.
Baron Davis is a real one. Well, I don't know if the All the Smoke podcast guys, so Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, were on the Bill Simmons show, and like Baron Davis apparently like tore up his knee on that We Believe Warriors team and was like playing on like one leg, which is pretty hardcore. I've never seen, though, Evan, I think probably the most depressing thing with this is not only is it Z gone, so that's probably 1A, but 1B is that the leading scorer is Antoine Jameson in the year 2010. That is just like, what are we doing here? Like, that is like being sad about Kevin Love being the best guy in a bad team and amplifying that by like 9 bajillion levels. No shade to Antoine Jameson, but this is like well past his prime.
Yeah, no, it really was. And I have a personal story about Antoine and this Cavs team. So for my birthday, I was turning 19 at the time. This was heading into, I was turning 18 at the time. Jesus. Antoine and the Cavs were playing the Bucks, and Antoine dropped like 40-something points. And I might be misremembering this, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. He dropped like 40-something points and like was absolutely playing his heart out, and the Cavs blew into overtime to a very bad Milwaukee team. And I just remember, I'm like, I'm so frustrated and done with this team. And, you know, we didn't even touch on the fact that, yeah, Z leaving is a bummer, but this is the first year after LeBron was gone too. And, like, we really got a taste of how bad things were now that LeBron is completely out of the picture.
It's so bad. This would have to, I think, just be one of the like last year's Cavs team. Like I, you and I have talked about this, and like this year's team has been bad, and there's a lot of drama, and last year's team is bad, all that stuff. I think both of those teams probably smoked the 2010-11
Cavs. Oh no, absolutely. I remember the following year, the team that had Kyrie and Tristan as a rookie. I got a poster from going to a Cavs game, and like you had Kyrie and Tristan, and there was Anthony Parker, who was past his prime, and then you have Antoine on there, who's past his prime, and then you have memorable characters like Semi Urdin and Ryan Hollins, and just some like, this team was so garbage, and like that poster stayed up on like my back door of my childhood bedroom until the Cavs won the title in 2016. And like one day I shut the door when I was home for the summer from college, or I was just home for the summer. And I like looked at that poster, and I'm like, oh my God, look how far this team has come. And like, yeah, no, the current Cavs team's pretty bad and dysfunctional in its own way, but they would absolutely blow the bricks off this 2010-2011 Cavs squad.
I just don't know how close. Like, it would just feels like it would not be close. For like, if you give me that the healthiest version of, like, I'm going to look up the full roster, but I'm thinking about like this year's team. So like your best five is probably like, it's not, I'm not saying this is like a good team. We obviously know that it's not. But, like, it's, like, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. I'm not putting Andre Drummond on the list because Andre Drummond has played, like, shit since he came to the Cavs. Great tipper, shitty basketball player since he came to the Cavs. Sexton.
You're just, like, keeping it real, real today with Andre Drummond.
Yeah. Been playing really bad since he came to the Cavs. Okay, so if we're looking, just been bad. Like, Read my highest review, people. Okay, so this would be like your best. Here's the best five guys according to value of replacement on this Cavs team, or on this 2010-11 Cavs team. It's not pretty. Ramon Sessions at 1.3, Antoine Jameson, Daniel Gibson, Baron Davis, Anderson Varejao. So those are your best five.
Mo Williams didn't make the list. Wow.
No. No, and then I'm going to do the same thing for the Cavs, but I'm thinking, like, if it's, like, you tell me it's, like, Jetty, KPJ, Sexton, Love, and Thompson, like, that's, like, certainly, I think, the best. And if we're going to look at, like, the top guys in value over replacement, you know, Love's at 1.8, Larry Nance at 1.4, Clarkson's at 0.8. 0.3 for Henson and Tristan. So it's kind of like not exactly what I would expect. I mean, some of the guys are rating out better. Like, Jetty's got a pretty bad VORP, and so does KPJ. They're both in, like, the bottom third of the team. Darius is by far less on the team. I didn't know that until now. But I think if you tell me you give me Love, one of Nance and Thompson, Sexton, and Jetty and KPJ,
mm-hmm.
or if you want to put McKitty in there just so you have, like, a vet or whatever, and then you say they're going to play Sessions, Jameson, Varejao, Booby, and Jamario Moon, because, like, Baron only is on the team for 15 games. Give me the 2019-20 Cavs.
Well, you also got to factor in that Byron Scott was coaching the 2010-2011 Cavs, who was Cleveland's answer to try and convince LeBron to stay after firing Mike Brown. And God, he was such a bad coach.
Would like, you...
Not even. No John's about it. Go ahead.
Would it impact your opinion on who wins this hypothetical matchup of bad Cavs teams if it's Beeline or Bickerstaff as the head coach?
See... If we're just doing, like, those five players versus five players, maybe Beilein holds that Cavs team back enough versus Bickerstaff. But if you're factoring in at least all the young pieces Cleveland had, because, well, let's just be honest here, this is the first year after LeBron. Like, this Cavs team's completely depleted and donezo. And, like,
oh,
they're shipping off assets left and right. And I remember, I think this is a rumor, I remember, like, Mo Williams approached the team and, like, let me, like, I don't want to be traded, because, like, the Cavs were trying to move him that summer. And then,
yeah.
This is the Evan got a Mo Williams as a jersey as a birthday present story, where I get a Mo Williams jersey as a birthday present, and he's traded the next day. So there we go. That's another painful memory from this cast.
Yes. Evan, here's just the list of guys that played more than 30 games on the Cavs. Well, I'll just tell you, here's 20 games or more. Luke Herangode played 21. Jawad Williams played 26. Andy only played... Yes. Andy played 31. Mo, 36. Samardo Samuels played 37. Joey Graham played 39. Jamario Moon, 40. Alonzo G, 40. Christian Ayanga himself, 44. Manny Harris, 54. Antoine Jameson, 56. Booby Gibson, 67. Somehow Booby Gibson was only 24 in 2010-11. That's bizarre. Ryan Hollins, 70. Anthony Parker, 72. J.J. Hickson, 80. And Ramon Sessions, 81.
Huh, that's it's quite the bad squad there. And, you know, you're listening to some of those names, and, like, you went, ugh, that's Samardo Samuels. But I remember I was drinking the Kool-Aid, and I was, like, trying to convince myself, like, Samardo Samuels, Alonzo G, Christian Ayanga, and Luke Herangode was a long shot, but Luke Herangode absolutely dominated when he played for the Cavs Charge, so he gave me hope, too. But, like, for the longest time, I kept trying to convince myself that these guys who were cast-offs and misfits, even at this early in their NBA career, like, were going to be something because they were in Cleveland. And with the power of hindsight, I was wrong. But, yeah, God, that's a depressing basketball team altogether.
Yeah. 2010-era Cavs stuff is very depressing on the LeBron losing in the playoffs end of it. And then the following season, there's nothing really good about 2010 for the Cavs. Aside from that, LeBron is, like, still in the team, even though it doesn't work out. Okay, but that is going to be it for today's show. Thanks again to Built Bar and Blinkist for sponsoring us. We'll be back tomorrow with Book Club. And everyone, have a good Friday again. Or, yeah, good Friday and good Thursday. I'm going to cut this out. Hey, everyone have a good Thursday as you're listening to us, or Friday if you're catching us on Friday before the book club episode comes out. And also remember, we are going to be kind of updating things on the fly here. Maybe there's a mini episode or something like that to react to news in real time. But changes are coming in terms of what's going on with the NBA. And we're going to cover that as best we can and how it impacts the Cavs. But until next time, Chris Manning and Evan here. Talk to you soon.